text for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel reading. In particular, when Jesus sends out his first pastors, his preachers, the 72, with a specific task. He gives them specific instructions that, well, they still apply to preachers and teachers in our day in many regards, that these who are sent directly by Jesus, they then send pastors, men like me, indirectly. That God sent, Jesus sent these 72 directly, and now he sends pastors and preachers indirectly through these apostles and their teaching. But today, what we want to focus on is as Jesus sends out these 72 directly, he tells them, he says, go your way, in verse 3. Go your way, behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, greet no one in the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the things I enjoy about sports is the unpredictable nature of competition. In football, there's a saying, in American football, not real football, soccer, but in American football, there is the saying, any given Sunday. This is a shortened version of the original saying, which was from the 40s even. On any given Sunday, any given team can win. When two teams step on the field, there's no guarantee who's going to win. I've been on teams who didn't win a game all season, and then the very last game, as we're playing the first place team, somehow we pulled a win out. It was great. And I've also been on teams that everyone thought was going to win, no problem, but any given Sunday. From a young age, we're taught this, the tortoise and the hare. Well, even in the scriptures, it's very scriptural, David and Goliath. Sometimes you just can't predict. But in today's gospel, it's not that hard to predict who's going to win. The battle is pretty predictable. If you were to hold a tournament of sorts, a fight to the end, to the death, I don't think very many of us would put money on the lamb when he steps into the ring with a wolf. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. A lamb doesn't have any offensive weapons. He doesn't have claws, and nor does a lamb really have much defense, for that matter. No offensive weapons, no defensive weapons. And yet, this is our scenario today when Jesus sends out the 72. Remember last week, Jesus sent James and John ahead of him to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. And the Samaritan village rejected him. The disciples said, "Shall we call down fire?" Jesus said no. Today is the continuation of that. Today, Jesus, as he sends his 72 out, he says, no, we don't call down fire, but this is what we're going to do. He tells them what their mission is. Behold, go your way. I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And Jesus actually found 72 men to do this. What would you have done with a job description like that? Don't take your wallet. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take a change of clothes. Don't take anything for protection. Everything that we think we might take into a battle, or at least something to make the fight fair, Jesus says, nope. Jesus tells the 72 to go empty-handed. Don't trust in any of the things you might carry. But they don't have nothing. What does Jesus give them? He gives them His Word. The Word of God, though it might seem like a losing bet in the eyes of the world, in the end, well, we know the end of the story. We have the luxury that these 72 sent out don't have yet. We know that the Lamb is victorious. We know that in the end, the Lamb wins. He stands over the dead wolf, the powerless wolf. But the Lamb doesn't win by eating the wolves. The lambs, they don't win by beating the wolves at their own game. They don't fight fire with fire. But how did the Lamb win? The Lamb, Jesus Christ, won by giving up His life, not on any given Sunday, but on a particular Sunday, He rose from the dead. So that by the authority of His Word, wolves would no longer be wolves, but wolves would be turned, that wolves would be born again as sheep. So from the beginning of our text to see, we see Jesus, He's ready to go head to head with the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, and it doesn't sound fair. And sometimes it will feel that way, even as a pastor. Sometimes it appears to me that the world will have its way with us, that the church is going to lose a battle each day that we try to wake up and engage the world around us. We see friends and family, people we grew up with, they just don't value the Word of God as a priority anymore. Personally, we can feel that way as well. When we look at our lives, right away we know why Jesus says He sends His messengers as lambs among wolves. That of our sinful nature, we have no defense against our sin. As fallen sinners, we have no offense to show God how holy we are. The Old Testament says even our good works are as filthy rags. It's true today as it was when Jesus sent these first pastors out. They're wolves that are ready to pounce on weak sheep. Hungry wolves ready to pounce at the first sign of weakness. You might be able to name a few. Wolves with appetites that seem insatiable. Never letting up on Christians. Always saying this or that. Heck, just turn on the television. Do you know that more Christians have been killed in the last 100 years than in all the centuries combined? Wolves, they are circling. One might even say they're prowling around looking for someone to devour. But of course, we know there's one wolf that is a little too close for comfort. And that's what wolves are good at. They're good at surprise. They're good at hiding and then showing themselves at the opportune time when the smell of weakness is in the air. You might object to being called a wolf. Me? Pastor? But what would that other person call you? The person that you bit with your sharp words or snapped at? You showed your teeth. Or even if you're able to keep that wolf hidden, what about those words and thoughts you had that you secretly said to yourself? What would others around you who've experienced your wolfish behavior, what would they say? Those you snapped at. Or maybe perhaps you like being the alpha wolf, the one in front, the one who's proud. It's really no competition if you ask yourself, mirror, mirror on the wall. You always have to get your way, even if that means stepping on a poor lamb. Only the strong survive in our world. How easy it is to be a wolf. How easy it is many times to appear gentle, but inside we know better. And yet, it is precisely for these wolves that Christ has come. You heard what he said. He is sending his preachers out to wolves, to us. But instead of devouring each other, let us who were wolves in our sin, let us instead of eating each other, let us eat the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Instead of pursuing one another, let us pursue and chase our Lord. Repent of your sins and train your hungry eyes on Christ. Eat up His forgiveness. Even today, our Lord, His word is preached in the midst of those who are tempted to be wolves again. Into the midst of wolves who are hungry, He sends His all-powerful word. He sends out His body and blood so that He would be devoured by us. The one that laid Himself bare at the hands of hungry sinners. Christ Jesus would not fight back, but He fought with the power of Almighty God and destroyed the power of sin over us. That we would no longer be wolves, but by the water and the Spirit, He says in John 3, we'd be born again. Not as polished up sinners. Not as wolves who've been covered in wool to look like sheep. No, but that wolves would be turned into lambs. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That wolves are turned into lambs by the only thing that has power over a wolf, forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, God Himself. Forgiveness to bring peace to troubled hearts. Forgiveness that makes saints out of sinners. Because Christ Jesus is your defense. He is your defense against all your sins, all your anger, losing your patience, your temper, not so that you may embrace your sin, but so that you may turn from it and reject it. He is our defense against a world set on self-destruction, a world set on devouring one another. We don't know the names of all these 72 sins. But we do know the name of the one who is working through them. We do know the name of the one who is doing the forgiving, the baptizing, the growing, the changing, the one who gives life through these nameless preachers. The one who still proclaims by His powerful word, giving His risen body and blood for us to eat and drink. The Lamb of God is still fulfilling His promise to feed His sheep so that they wouldn't again, by unbelief, go back to being wolves. He is our defense against our sins, and yet, my friends, He's also our offensive weapon. St. Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He is the one who will work through you, giving you good deeds and righteousness that He then says belongs to you. So rejoice in the right things. Give thanks to God for the pure things, the good things. But not so much the visible wonders that we see, that the disciples here, they rejoice that the spirits obeyed them. Jesus says, don't rejoice so much in the visible wonders that the spirits are subject to you, that maybe we get the admiration of the wolves every once in a while. Because wolves get bored easily. and quickly. Even the wolf that's in each and every one of us lambs yet, the sinner that is part of us that we fight against, don't rejoice so much that you tame the wolf, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that salvation and that peace that surpasses all understanding has been given to you. That no matter how loud the wolves howl, rejoice that you're in the Lamb and the Lamb is in you. Know that the Lamb, He also knows what it's like to be a lamb among wolves. He's felt the fangs. He's seen the worst. But that crucified Lamb was the risen one that Sunday morning. The victorious Lamb, the conqueror, was always the conqueror. The devoured, He is now the devourer. His death is the death of our sins and the devil. His life is now our life. He has made you into His sheep, and He brings you into His pen. It's no competition, really, but it's the opposite of what we think. The Lamb wins. There will be times that wolves may see you as lunch, but since we've given up our fangs to forgive, and we no longer have claws for scratching, but hands and feet for serving, well, you'll be seen as an easy target. They'll bite and it's going to hurt. And you'll be tempted to fight back as a wolf, but remember who you are. Feed them Jesus. The best way to fight a wolf is to fill them up. Give them peace and forgiveness. Pray for them, but keep watch over yourself that you don't let the inner wolf run wild. You are in the Lamb who's victorious. It's no competition. The Lamb wins. That's what we learn from our text today, that the Word of God wins every time because by that Word, He declares you forgiven. By that Word, He's washed you in the waters of baptism, given you a promise. By His Word, He declares you a lamb. So we learn that of ourselves, we have no weapons, no offensive weapons, no defensive weapons that the world is going to marvel at. The devil is too great. He's too smart. Our sins are too many. But we do have the greatest weapon of all. We have the Word of Christ. His promise of forgiveness, that any given Sunday, Christ forgives you by His Word. He is your offense. He is your defense. Any given Sunday, any day, my friends, while it is yet still day, let Christ give you the guaranteed victory before the time runs out. And may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.